What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Brother Dusty. How are you, man?
Pretty good, dude. It's Monday. It's nice out. Where are you from? I'm Nashville.
Yeah, so I'm Rage Rowdy's based in Nashville, but I do everything remotely from Cincinnati, so I'm not too far.
A little quarter up there.
Yeah, it hit the 50s today. I don't know what it is down there, but
I think it's like 70, man.
Oh my God, really?
I was stuck in Cincinnati. A van, my band's van broke down a couple weeks ago, and I was stuck there for 3 days.
Oh no!
Crazy. It's a good time though. I go to every time I'm in Cincy, I go to Agave and Rye, the taco spot.
Dude. I was just there 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, dude. But yeah, it's nice to have you on, man. I've been seeing you ever since I like started my Rowdy Alternative account. Like, I've been seeing you on that for the longest time. So I'm glad we finally got to make this happen, man.
Yeah, man.
I guess just to start out, just let us, I know obviously the new year just kicked off. Just let us know what's been going on with you, like shows in the studio, anything like that.
Well, man, I took all of 2025 to sort of build a foundation for like making my solo. I've always had solo music, but I never really like try to make like a real thing out of it. So, 2025 was just about like, I honestly released one song, and, with that song, I put my band together. I booked a bunch of tours. I got some management, printed all my merch, and really just set a foundation for myself, got my name out and just like made it known that I exist.
Yeah.
So this year, you know, now that the foundation's set, it's really about like growth and like getting my digital following up a little bit more content. I did try to record 3 albums last year. I got 2.5 of them done, pretty much done, mm-hmm. done enough. So this year I'm trying to finish all 3 of them and just be stacked up on music for the next couple years. And of course I'll still do more stuff, but you know, with this year, I think really the next move is I'm trying to play as many solo gigs as possible.
Okay.
I'm trying to, cause with the band, I don't know if you've seen, but I have like a 5 to 7 piece band depending on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome. But I, at this point, like been basically paying my guys all the money that I make.
Yeah.
So, I've been trying to book more solo gigs to where, you know, by the end of the year, I can have like a fully self-sufficient career just by myself, not needing management, not needing anything, no band members, just being able to do all of it myself and make all my own money. And then anything above that, you know, is just bonus points.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, that's a good strategy to do. I mean, like you put, I think you said like a rebuild year or like build a year, like to where you could like really, like you said, like get your following up and all that. But yeah, man, it was so cool to dive into your stuff. The way I describe it, is that it's hard to describe what your music sounds like. And I think that's the best thing about it, in my opinion. I love music like that. And especially going off like your last single, which I think came out, it was January of last year, wasn't it?
It was January 1st, 2025. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And like, it's like, if it's hard, like the hip hop influence to the jazz influence to the,
I get
a lot of Primus. I don't know if that, if,
dude,
if that's anything, but
it's funny because Primus is not at all an influence. I actually, all of the information I know about Primus is from how many people have told me that my music reminds them of Primus. I think it's just a lead bass thing, man. I think most music is guitar based, and the bass is just back there. And when you have like a bass led band, people are like, oh, Primus, which is hilarious because it's like they're really the only like big band who's ever done that. You know what I mean? And there's other lead singer bass players, but they usually just play regular bass lines, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a compliment. Trust me. It's a compliment.
I like them. It's interesting because I've, you know, had people show me like, oh, well, you need to know, like you need to sit down with some Primus and like, listen. And I will say, dude, I listen, and remarkably, there are so many songs where the riff is only like 2 notes away from a song that I have, or like really, really similar feels and really similar concepts. And it's just like, wow, man, like I'd never listened to Primus growing up. And
yeah,
I still don't, honestly. I respect them. When people are like, oh man, you remind me of Les Claypool, it's like, I know that that's one of the best rock basses of all time. So I take it, you know, as a great compliment, but it is funny. That, and there was a while I was getting a lot of Jim Morrison. And
okay.
I was like, dude, I've never even listened to the Doors. But it's just, it's cool that people can draw influences from people that aren't influences. Cause that just makes me feel like, you know, those dudes are great. And the fact that I didn't take from them, I just ended up coincidentally becoming similar to them according to other people. I think that that's just like a cool sign. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're making those connections without even like trying to. Yeah. It's pretty neat. So I guess like, man, how would you describe your sound? Like we said, like, obviously it's such like, it's everywhere in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And how would you describe it?
Man, I mean, it really depends on like the context. I know my two biggest influences are like Black Sabbath and Rage Against the Machine. Those are my mom and dad influences. Love like Jack White and Wolf Mother and like a little bit of Chili Peppers. I really liked NERD growing up.
Okay.
I think that's got a lot of influence on some of the new stuff that I'm doing. But I also, you know, I get around in like the Nashville bluegrass scene. Like I got a lot of friends in like the folk Americana bluegrass thing. I've had metal phases, I've had hip hop phases and stuff like that. So like I always say that I would consider myself rock and roll at a foundation. And then I like to spin it with just like a bunch of twists. And I like to mix in a little bit of hip hop and a little bit of funk and a little bit of metal and a little bit of jazz. And, you know, Whoa is really like rock, rap, and jazz. But yep. I do a lot of different genre stuff. If you see my full band right now, where it's at, it's like the whole first half is like this weird EDM, Billy Strings, hip hop. Weird twist on like Americana, blues, bluegrass, and then it gradually gets jazzier, and then by the end of it it's like heavy rock. I've just been telling people it's like a circus. It's like you see a little bit of everything and you see all these different instruments, and I try to take rock and roll as the centerpiece and then just bring in everything from all over the world and throughout history and like make sort of like a time machine. Like it's supposed to be a thing, you know what I mean? Rather than fitting in to a specific category, I try to invent, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like we're in a good spot now, like in really any genre. You see it all the time, like the genre lines are getting so blurred, and artists are trying new things. Like you said, they're inventing things, like Billy Strings, like bluegrass, right? Like that's the first thing you think of, but he's doing his own thing. Strings is Billy Strings, and then bluegrass.
He's a former metal guy that went bluegrass, and I think that's kind of where I'm at with it too. Is like a lot of my I have a lot of bluegrass friends that are very traditionalist.
Mm-hmm.
I would never claim to be that, but it's like it's kind of bluegrass flavored music. You know what I mean? It sort of feels like that. But it's taken from a lot of rock and a lot of metal and a lot of hip hop, and just fusing that and then putting all these fusions together with like a banjo and a mandolin and a fiddle and the upright bass and stuff, you know? The main thing that I'm excited about is a lot more of the Whoa style music, where it's like kind of jazzy rap rock.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. It's a tough question, but it is a real question that has to be answered all the time. And I try to just tell people the live show is a circus, and my music has just like a rock and roll center, and I just bring a salad of everything, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And like speaking of like the live show, I say it on here all the time, but like when I think, in my opinion, as a music fan, I think the live show is maybe the most important part as a fan discovering artists. Like that's, I think, at least in my experience, that's what has made me a fan. And that's also what keeps me a fan. Like there's something about it. And like, I haven't seen you live in person, but I've seen videos like when I was doing my little deep dive on you, and man, you do it, circus. Like that's a great way to put it. And it is like, I feel like there's a balance between, like the actual musical aspect to the live show and the show part.
Yeah.
And is that like, it seems like you've really found that line down the middle, like perfectly. Has that been like something that you think a lot about, the live show aspect of it, or you kind of just go on up there and just do what you do?
No, I am all about, you know, I was in drumline when I was in like high school and growing up, and I used to be like a drumline coach. And I've been involved in like more theatric production stuff. I did a lot of, it's like Winter Drumline, which it's almost like a play in a basketball gym with, it's like a marching band show, but it's all drums.
Yeah.
And I've always been into like the theatrics and like concepts and world building and just the production side of it. So I'm really into like getting my transitions right and like having moments in the show. And I mean, there are a lot of really good bands that just go out and play songs. But in my opinion, it's like people pay so much money to go and just stare at Lord of the Rings for 3 hours, or they'll pay even more money to go watch like Dave Chappelle tell jokes for an hour.
Yeah.
And so where I'm at with it is like, how can I provide something that's worth someone paying money just to go stare at and listen to? So I want to try to create like the most, you know, just, I don't know what the word is. I guess entertaining is the first word that comes to mind, but you know, just something that really brings people in and hooks them. And most importantly, just like etches myself into their subconscious and their memory to where when they leave that day, they'll remember, you know, because it's like, we all go to shows, but it's like, give it a month. Who played that show? You know, do you even remember the bands? Do you remember any of their songs? Can you think of anything remarkable that you remember a month later after seeing a show? And I think all the best shows have something like that, where you have memories. And so that's what I try to do, is just create something that can turn into a memory or turn into an experience for people where they can go tell stories, you know?
Yeah. Well put, man. I mean, that's, I completely agree. Like when you know when you're at a good show, and you know, like a month later, a year later, when you could remember that show and where you were during that. Absolutely, man.
Yeah, I feel like with so many people making music, it feels like if you're really, really going to do it, the bare minimum is 11 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. If you're 10 out of 10, you're still kind of part of the background noise. You know, it's like all the people that are really, really killing it, if you watch them, there's not a lot of like really, really big successful artists that are anything less than 11 out of 10. You know, it's like, it's usually got to be like so incredible that you can't look away from it, you know, and there's plenty of exceptions, obviously, but
that's
kind of how I try to stick to, and I try to think, not that I'm there yet, but like, that's what I shoot for, you know?
Yeah. And I imagine that's especially the case. And I don't live there, I don't know really, but like in a place like Nashville.
Oh yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about how that community is, especially with your,
buddy,
the music you play? Nice. with the music you play, it is so, you know, I feel like it's hard to put it in a scene. You know what I mean? But like, obviously Nashville has so many, they have the rock scene, the country stuff, the songwriter.
Well,
how can you describe that community kind of a little bit?
First off, one thing about Nashville is that the cashier at the dollar store is probably better at your instrument than you are. And that's everywhere. It's like, it's just anytime they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a musician. And they're like, yeah, me too. That's just like, it's the music city, you know? I was in the rock scene for like 7 years. And I played in like at least 30 bands or artists, like with 30 bands or artists. So I know a lot of the rock scene. I know a lot of the guys that I played with are like out touring, and like, I wouldn't even really consider them part of the scene anymore. And then all of last year, I got into like the jazz and hip hop scene. And I think this year I'm going to really try to like, I have a lot of friends in the bluegrass scene. And I think I'm going to try and tackle that. And so you're right. It's like, where does my music fit? But this is the cool thing about it, is I can go play in February. I've got a rap show.
Nice.
And you know, I'm playing rock shows, and then I've got like some jazz nights that I've played, and, with the bluegrass thing. And it's like, it's literally set up. I'm trying to get so many songs in the set where I can go and just only play my bluegrassy stuff with other bands like that. And then I can play just a full rock set with all rock bands, you know, and then maybe throw in a couple of the exception songs.
Yeah.
Just to mix it up and be like, oh, but we're different. And here's this thing that no one else is doing, you know? And then of course, if you book us for like a festival or something, you get the full circus of everything. So, yeah, it's like a high school, you know, there's a lot of different lunch tables in the cafeteria in Nashville. And I love it here, man. I've been here long enough to kind of see that honestly, a lot of the people that are killing it, they're not really in the scene. They're kind of more concerned about like touring and moving up ahead of those things. I spent a lot of years like in the Nashville high school world, you know?
Yeah.
Great people. It's awesome. It's just like, I feel like after a few years, you sort of look around and some of your favorite bands have broke up and it feels like no one necessarily gets to go anywhere. There's exceptions, of course, but here lately, I've just been sort of like tuning myself out from like the local scene, but still going out and playing. And like, I want to know what's going on and I want to know what the good bands are and stuff. But I'm kind of trying to like not play Nashville too much. You know what I mean? Unless it's like a big opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, man. And it's, I want to talk a little bit about, it sounds like you want to like you said, kind of get more into the bluegrassy stuff this year a little bit and like kind of dive into that a bit. It's kind of wild how, at least from what I've seen, like bluegrass is like popular again. Like it's popular now. Thanks a lot, you know, to Billy Strings, but other band, like in a lot in the jam band world, I've noticed like, it's kind of cool. Is that pretty prevalent in town? Like the bluegrass stuff?
Yeah. It's funny because there's country Nashville with like your average, like rich white kid from the suburbs who just bought a cowboy hat and boots and strums three chords and talks about whiskey and his girlfriend and stuff. That's like more downtown, but a lot of like where I'm surrounded by is like a lot of the jam grass, bluegrass, like that world. And yeah, I think Grateful Dead had some sort of a resurgence, and then like the Grateful Dead tied in with the Billy Strings movement, I think really turned people's heads. And you know, now there's just like a full world of all these, like, you know, like Sierra Farrell and Jesse Wells and Charlie Crockett and, you know, Benjamin Todd and all these people. I mean, there's just so many, and it's like an alternative country that's more country than whatever we're calling country these days.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's like, that's what real country was, and we got away from it, and now it's coming back, but it's coming back under a different name, I guess, and a different scene. So I don't know. And there are a lot of people like that. And that's kind of where I want to head a little bit with that style of music, you know, is playing with those artists and opening up for those people. There's like, you know, Paul Cawthon and a little bit of like, I would honestly say like kind of Jelly Roll a little bit. Like he's mainstream, but he's not like bro country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he does the genre twisting and the fusion and stuff like that. But yeah, here in Nashville, no, there's a huge bluegrass movement, and there are some people that play both like that side of the country and in like the bro country downtown. But it's not divided in like a negative way, but it's like there's definitely the two different scenes. You know, there's the honky tonk. Like if you go to like Skinny Dennis is a really popular bar now, and it's like the music, you feel like you're in like an old Western saloon, you know, from back in the Wild West. And it's cool, you know, but yeah, it is funny. There's so many, like I said, the high school cafeteria lunch tables, there's artists that are trying to make art. Mm-hmm. And then there's just like an army of each genre that's like, these guys want to be the next Led Zeppelin. And these guys want to be the next Motley Crue. And these guys want to be the next Metallica. And you know, these guys want to be the next, you know, whatever, you have it. And it's like, you see that in every genre. Like you see people who are trying to recreate like a Willie Nelson or whatever it be, you know? And so it's really, I love to find people where I listen to their music and I'm just like, dude, you did it. You know, you took your influences and you mixed them up and you did this thing that I can't put my finger on, rather than just follow a formula and check off boxes on a list. You know?
Absolutely. And I'm seeing a lot of that, like with like the modern, like rock bands, like there's a lot of them go the route of they take that retro or that vintage sound, whether it be like Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, like you said, but they do, like you said, change it up in their own way just enough to make it their own. And I think that's wild in itself, but like with your stuff, like you can't put a finger on it. And I would say like more than any other artist I've listened to recently, man, like honestly, like it is really, I was like racking my brain today. I'm like, what the fuck? Like this guy don't sound like anything that I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Man.
No, I love that.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I strive for. And I honestly, it's like something that I'm kind of trying to work on. Here, I got to let the dog out.
You're good.
It's something that I'm trying to work on of like, you know, I definitely want to stay unique and stay doing my own thing. But I think there is a certain degree of like, there's a reason, you know, people get used to these different genres and stuff, and it's what they're familiar with. And so I'm trying to like, you know, formulate at least like parts of my songs and some of my songs to where it's like, okay, you know, there is a relatable aspect and like a familiarity, because when you put a song out, you know, these days it's like, well, what playlist can I go into?
Yeah.
What world does this belong in? What bands should I open up for? And it's like, there's got to be a certain amount of relatability to the market. And so that's what I've kind of been working on, is keeping my forefront as this mysterious, like, what is he even doing vibe? But then having like a couple songs here and there where it's just like straightforward. It's like, all right, yeah, this goes with that. And then having like a bridge in that song where it's like, nope, you know, I'm going to keep the twist, you know?
Yeah, keep you on your toes. And you mentioned kind of like how, like, what playlist are you going to get put on? And basically, like, the way the industry is now, like, with Spotify, for instance, like, streaming, like, you got the, I always think that they have, like, that release radar. So where all these artists, like, they put a new song out that Friday, and then they're on it. I mean, yeah, that's great for discovering new music, but, I mean, I feel like it's still so, like, I guess diluted, is that a good word? I don't know. It's oversaturated kind of. It's hard to, there's like, I'm sure there's a million great artists out there, but like you just can never find them. And like with like this new age, it's not even really new anymore. It's been going on for a while, but in the world of streaming and social media and TikTok and all that, have you been able to, I know, like you said, you've been working on creating that build up and everything, but have you found that challenging at all? Have you just been kind of doing it your own way? How's that been going?
I kind of ignore it. I think that there's a huge advantage to the TikTok and the Spotify and all that, but like, I still think that it's just it's an illusion. You got to go book gigs, man. You got to go like have one-on-one conversations with people. You got to get out and go to the party and have a beer with some buddies and go make friends, man. And it's like, that's where the opportunities are. Yeah, I've played with people that are viral online or that have like 10 times the followers that I do. It doesn't necessarily translate to ticket sales. Mm-hmm. No one really cares, you know? I just think that people spend so much time on the internet right now that there's just this big illusion that that's what life is now. And it's like, it definitely helps, you know, like having a big TikTok following and having a big social media following helps. But it's like, at the end of the day, success in the music business really comes from like playing the right gigs, meeting the right people, getting the right opportunities, and opening up for certain people. And I don't necessarily think that you have to have like a certain amount of, it just depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to some industry people, you know, they want to see numbers.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to pay your bills and you're trying to make money and you're trying to go out and like make a legacy and just play the music and get it out there, it's like, I think it's very possible to just go do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, like when I go around Nashville, it's like, I don't think my numbers are that high, but like almost everywhere I go, someone comes up to me and they're like, hey, Brother Dusty, right? So it's like, what do the numbers even really mean at that point? You know what I mean? It's like, if I can't even go to the grocery store without feeling like I'm Tom Hanks or some shit, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I mean, that is something that I do want to work on this year, because I think it is a part of it, and it can be important. I just think real life trumps it like entirely, you know?
Yeah.
There's bands that come out and their very first show is huge, or their very first song is huge, and it's like, it's not a coincidence and it's not an accident. Someone did some work and someone knows somebody, and they don't have numbers. They don't have a following. They don't have merch. They don't have songs out, but they know the guy who can give them the record deal. And as soon as their first song comes out, they're in Rolling Stone. You know, it's very possible. But I think where I'm at right now is just doing like the base level DIY stuff, getting connected to those people and working my way up through that naturally. Which is cool, because I have songs that I think are great, but they're not that. Like, they're not like big radio hits. And it's like, I would rather get my like more personal songs that I really like, but I don't necessarily think are like the best song in the world. I would like to still put those out. And it's like, if I were to get a record deal tomorrow, I would have to probably ditch like half my catalog, you know? So it's kind of fun this way, because I can put out the songs that are more personal to me that I don't necessarily believe in, but it's enough to maintain my career, and it's enough to put out and work on getting followers and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think I'm going to work on it a lot this year, and like have a couple of days where I just film a bunch of content and do the thing, you know? But it's just it's all controlled, and it's all gate kept, and the algorithm is a weird thing, and it's hard to break out making your own thing. It's really easy to break out advertising something that isn't you, going out and just making a silly meme or a funny skit or something that really does nothing for your career. I feel like that's easy to do that and blow up. But it's like, what is that really going to do for me, you know? I don't like how degrading this whole thing is for people. It's like it's turning everyone into like wannabe superstar vanity. And it's like, you can clearly tell in their videos and their reels that they're just like begging for attention. They're doing anything that they can to get it. And it almost takes away from the mystique of their artistry. And it takes away from just like, just who they are as people. And it just kind of like, I don't know, man, it shows a side of people that is really hard to take seriously, you know? Yep. And I want to do a little bit of it, because you got to relate to people and you got to play the game. But I'm just going to like focus on booking and connections and doing things in the real world.
Yeah.
And then let the numbers kind of build themselves from touring. And, you know, every now and then, hopefully I can have a video that gets a lot of shares, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the right mindset to have, man. And like, you're dead right about, like, I know a lot of artists who like they've been around for 10 plus years, and like now all of a sudden they're being told, like, by the label or whoever, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but I know they're being told, like, all right, you got to have a TikTok out today. And it just weighs down on, it beats them down. It's just so sad to watch. And like, they're done with it. Like they just stop playing music, and like,
it divides your time so much. And it makes you think, like, you go back and you listen to like, you know, Jimi Hendrix or like Led Zeppelin or something like that. And there's just something like so mystically powerful about it. And when you really think about it, it's like, those dudes didn't have cell phones. Right. Those dudes were just only around people and the earth and their instruments and the party. And like, that's what their life was. And now it's like, we're so all sucked into the screen that I feel like it really deteriorates like the mystical, like earthy, organic, spiritual quality of music. And it just turns everything into like this wannabe commercial, you know? Yeah.
And Hendrix was a great example. I mean, like, I might've seen like 3 Jimi Hendrix interviews in my life, like video interviews. And like, the dude's like still one of the biggest artists to ever live. You're right about the mystique. It sucks. I feel like we've lost a lot of that, pretty much what you've said, but hopefully, you know, some semblance of that could come back, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's really weird, because it's like, hypothetically, if you think about it, like, okay, let's disappear into the mountains and write the greatest album of all time. Well, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
You know, you still got to play the game. You got to go record some content, and you still got to promote it. And it's like, it's like a trap, man. It's like, there's really no way out unless you just miraculously were to run into somebody who's like, hey, let me do everything for you, and you just play the music. And I think you eventually get there. I think a lot of the bigger artists in the world have probably achieved that, where they don't have to worry about any of that stuff, you know? But when you're on like kind of the level that I'm at, I did hire management, and I've got people that want to do that. My problem is, I'm a control freak, and I do make my own videos, and I make my own graphics, and I make a lot of my own stuff. So for me to turn it over to somebody, especially who would do it for cheap, it's like, they're not going to do it better than me in terms of like making it more suitable for the brand and like what I want out of it, you know?
Yeah.
No one's going to do that better than me. So I'm kind of waiting until I find someone who's just like way, way, way better than me that can just shut me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it makes sense, man. But dude, thanks a lot for hopping on. It was a lot of fun. But before we go, what do we got coming down the pipe? You say it sounds like you got a big year coming up. Like, can we hear about anything you might have coming out or shows, even anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I got a couple shows in Nashville booked. Pretty big. Like, they're all a little bit more than like just a show, you know. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of solo gigs. I'm doing a lot of open mics and a lot of like featured slots, restaurants and bars, like just getting going, you know what I mean? I've got a new single that I'm going to put out relatively soon. My management's really wanting to take our time with like sending it to press and like really releasing it the right way. But I have a rock song coming out, and then I want to drop some of the like country stuff after, and like I think I'm going to mix it up. I was going to go all rock and then all country and then all love ballads. And I think what I'm actually going to do is mix it up and stagger them.
Okay.
And then maybe later on drop the rock record. I'm hoping by the end of this year I can drop the rock record, or at least build up to it, and the beginning of next year drop the full album, you know?
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Dude, I'm so excited. I was very hyped to finally dive into your stuff, dude. I can't wait to see what this year has to come for you, man.
Thanks a lot, man. Yeah, thanks for your time and hitting me up, dude.
Absolutely, man. But before we go, also, where can people find you? Just everything Brother Dusty?
Yeah, Brother Dusty, Instagram and YouTube are the main ones. I will say I just built my website. I haven't announced it yet. I'm not going to stop you from typing it in the search bar and seeing if it exists yet. I did it myself. It was a headache, but I did it. But yeah, everything's Brother Dusty. There might be a couple things if you can't find Brother Dusty music, but I'm pretty sure everything's just straight Brother Dusty. So
right on. Y'all make sure to check out Brother Dusty. I can't tell you guys enough how good his shit is. It's really good. Can't wait to see what you have coming up, man. Also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us, will show up right next to Brother Dusty's new website on the search bar. Thanks everyone for listening. Dude, thanks for hopping on. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude. Hey, yeah. I'll let you know when I'm coming back to Cincinnati. I think I'm going in August. So
awesome. Please do, man. Yeah. That'll be fun. But cool. Yep, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Yes, sir. Take it easy, man. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?